Science.
And with that rather incredible brand new intro, it is time once again for Twist. This week in Science Today, Jesse Hawley. How are you, mate? From the CSIRO, how are you?
Good, how you going?
Very, very good. You shaking it?
I'm shaking that baby.
Yeah, Twist and Shout. Look at that.
Both of them.
Twist and Science, as it were. So what's making science news this week?
I've got two pieces of science news. A relatively new type of brain imaging technique, and also an explanation about how moths work.
How moths work?
Yeah.
What, at their desks, or what they do for a living, or is this more sort of intricate and how they fly and how they live?
We shall see. So the first piece of research is published in the journal Nature. They looked at a previous study that had been done with fMRIs, and they tried to emulate it using a new technology that is easier and less clunky, trying to see if they're equivalent, and we could just forget about the fMRI and move on to this new one,
right?
Because that would be better for everybody. So fMRI, you can look, see the oxygen going on in people's brain cells and see what people are thinking about. It's very handy. You present them with, images and people's faces and see how they respond.
This is the various ones where they've sort of mapped things like serial killers' brains and and geniuses and et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Righto.
So they're trying to see how the human brain works in a realistic environment, and yet in order to do these studies, you have to be lying extremely still in a metal cylinder. So unless you do that on a day-to-day basis, perhaps you're a luge.
I do.
Going through tiny tunnels, it's not very representative of reality. So obviously, it's got its drawbacks. So this new technology, it's called FNIRS.
Right. Is the S just like sport? Is this like a different model of car where they just put an S on them? Yeah, there's a new car. It's a sport version.
So the GT fMRI is functional near-infrared spectroscopy.
Of course.
And this one, you don't lie in it. It lies on you.
What?
Sorry, that was a bad description. It's a hairnet type thing, and it shoots, it's safe, it shoots near-infrared light into your brain. I made it sound scary by saying shoots. It emits. light, and it can actually, your skull and all of that is invisible in the spectrum, so it just goes right in.
Wow.
What's not invisible is the hemoglobin in your blood vessels around your brain.
Okay.
So it can see sort of your thoughts by wearing this hairnet. You don't have to lie to you. So,
will my tinfoil hat prevent the infrared rays from getting in?
I probably.
Yes. Sorry, continue.
I don't know much about light and penetration, all that, but I would imagine it would,
Yep. All right.
But, okay, so the study they did was they got three people to tell a story, an anecdote, an English native speaker and two Turkish native speakers.
Right.
And then they put the hats on them.
Swimming caps.
It's very expensive science tech. And they measured their brain patterns while they told their story. They looked at the front of the brain, like the human part. And then they played these three stories to an audience of 15 English speakers.
Right.
So two of them may as well have been gobbledygook. And they looked, they measured.
So the two Turkish people were telling their story in Turkish?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Carry on.
And they played it to the 15 English listeners. And they found that the audience's brains showed the same pattern as the English storyteller while they're telling the story. So the speaker and the listener sort of synchronized in terms of what pattern they were recognizing. Like they're transmitting their pattern of thought onto somebody else. But yet, the English listeners did not make the same pattern as the Turkish storytellers. So we couldn't make sense of it, so they inadequately conveyed their message to those other brains.
Right.
So this study has already been done, but the study was done in an fMRI. So now it's been redone with this new tech, found the same thing.
This one's got the spoiler on it, yeah?
Yep. the wings. And they found the same results. So the idea is perhaps we could start using this technology to do more relaxed, more natural experiments to see what's going on inside people's brains without having them in the tube.
Ah.
Yes.
Very interesting. So it's a little less... You hear a lot about some people being claustrophobic in those sorts of... experiments isn't the word, but if they're having those sorts of scans and that sort of work done...
Yeah, my friend was recently in one and she said it wasn't the claustrophobia that got her, but they don't prepare you that it's really loud.
Yeah, right.
She said it was like shocking. There's all these things. Like she wasn't aware that it was normal versus abnormal. So thought that she might get stuck in there because there's a lot of stuff going on inside it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, they don't prime you.
Yeah, so this is obviously, they can just sort of be, I guess, sitting there in a chair, can't they? And have the cap donned and...
You could even be in a crowd watching some stand-up comedy or something.
Listening to someone tell a story in Turkish, which you don't understand a word of.
Eating twisties.
that twist theme, it just won't go away.
Yeah, maybe that's where it came from. We should have scared my brain while I thought of that weird comment.
All right. What do we got? Article number two this week?
Can you remember what it was?
Yeah, here we go. Scan my brain. It was something I made. I asked you about it. Moths. Moths. Yeah. So, there we go. I got there eventually.
I don't know why I'm testing you. This is on hawk moths and nectar.
Hawk moths?
Yeah, so it's a big group.
They got big beaks or talons?
No, they look kind of birdy if you look at them. They're big. They've got faces. They've got big eyes. They look like birds or mammals or something. They're cute creatures. Wow. Check them out. Anyway, you would know one if you saw it. They're big. New research from the University of Arizona, published in the journal Science, found out how they eat nectar and don't die. So when you breathe and live and just are an animal, you exist, you take in oxygen, and you metabolize it, and you make these byproducts. And some of that oxygen comes out as like mental oxygen called free radicals.
Right.
And they're electrostatically charged, and they bind with your muscles and just mess with your body, and it leads some ideas that that's what the cause of aging is.
All right.
And these free radicals just completely mess with your system. They're molecular loose cannons, and we need to, our body, they do good things, but they're largely detrimental. Our body's got these inbuilt defenses against them, but they're inadequate, so we have to eat things to combat these free radicals.
Right.
And they're antioxidants, so we've got to eat berries, fruit, vegetables. And these antioxidants sort of neutralize the free radicals, the reactive oxygen. The moths and other nectar-eating animals, they generate a lot of stress. So you make this crazy bad oxygen by just living and working muscles.
Right.
And the more you work your muscles, the more you generate. So running is good, but you really build this stuff up.
Right.
Nectar-eating animals generate so much stress with their muscles, they're creating so much reactive oxygen, it should be very, very dangerous. I was thinking they have to hover on the spot getting the nectar. Yeah. It's like how tiring it is when you're lying in bed reading a book above you.
Holding it up above
but
your head,
if the book weighed your whole body weight.
Wow.
That's what they're doing, like on a nightly basis in the desert flying around.
Yeah.
It's a big hassle.
Yeah.
So
they're some fit buggers.
Yeah, they sure are. And not only that, but nectar has no antioxidants. So their bodies are generating copious amounts of reactive oxygen, but there's no antioxidants to combat it.
Right.
So what they found is they looked at the moth's input and output, what they're breathing out, with this neat technology, measured their metabolism. And they found out that the moths spend some of the glucose from the nectar or the sugar that they're eating... And they push it down this pathway in their body, molecular pathway, that turns some of that glucose into antioxidants. So they're actually forcing their own body to produce more antioxidants and extract more from the food to save themselves. So this pathway...
They're really getting every little bit out of the food, aren't they?
They're transforming the food into their own little medicine that we couldn't. So the pathway that they push this glucose down is called the pentose phosphate pathway.
Of course.
It's shared with the PPP. It's shared with everything. It's like an old school pathway.
Right.
We've got it.
Cool.
Pirates have got it.
Pirates?
Yeah. Twisties.
Twisties have got it?
Oh, corn. Corn does have this pathway. Trees have it. It's a very old pathway.
Wow.
So anyway, we were talking about how could you have 50% DNA with banana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, things like this pathway that turn glucose into these antioxidants, we share it with them. So normally birds, they have to stop their migration because they're building up all this reactive oxygen when they're flying or migrating. Yeah. They have to stop by berry bushes and eat all these fruits to get the antioxidants, otherwise they'll just cark it and drop like flies or flying birds.
Yeah.
So, moths. Clever.
Crazy.
Crazy moths. Crazy oxygen.
Clever things. It's amazing, isn't it?
Gosh darn.
That's science stuff. It's amazing. Hey, listen, if someone wanted to hear a little bit more science stuff, I'm going to do this every week. Someone wanted to hear a little bit more science news. Where could they hear it?
They can hear your lovely voice on our new podcast. It's with the CSIRO's new podcast called Interonauts.
Now, how are you spelling that, Interonauts?
That's an Interonauts.
Well done. And what does that mean?
Means like the question or the examining explorers.
There you go.
Yeah, or sailors. Interonauts, check it out on iTunes. Just Google it. Chuck it in the search bar.
That's simple.
Yeah, it's quite simple.
Beautiful. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us today on The Daily.
No worries. It's great to be here. And I'm still here. It was great to be here, and I'll see you next week.